I'm assuming if you're listening to this recording, it's because you're preparing to have a conversation with your partner about a subject that you've had a lot of disagreements about. I'm going to help you mentally rehearse each of the skills you'll need to have a conversation where you successfully negotiate your differences, and where you come away from the conversation with some agreements that you both can feel good about. The first skill that you'll need is often overlooked, but it's really important. In the first few seconds, your partner will sense your state of mind, and if he picks up on any stress, impatience, or edginess, it can affect his own state of mind. So I want you to do two things at once. First, take a minute and completely relax every muscle in your body. While you're doing this, take a big inhale and then let the air out slowly, putting your lips together so that you have to gently push the air out, so it's a long, slow exhale. Picture your partner sitting in front of you. Relax the muscles in your face and picture yourself with a friendly expression on your face, making your opening statement, which would be something like, "Look, for now, don't worry about what I want. Just talk about if it was up to you and I was going to be okay with whatever you wanted. What would you like to have as a default plan for how we should handle things? I'm going to try and set aside my ideas for now and just try and understand yours." In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to pause the recording and practice making this statement out loud, as if your partner was right in front of you. I want you to have the experience of having this statement come out of your mouth while you're completely relaxed. And I want you to have this experience every day up until you actually have the conversation with your partner. So right now, pause the recording, take a big inhale, then long exhale, relax every muscle in your body, picture your partner in front of you, and then practice making your opening statement to your partner. Now I really want you to do this. Don't skip over this part. Go ahead. I'll wait while you do it. Okay, let's move on. Now take a minute and think about things that your partner will likely say. You might not know exactly what his ideas will be, but if you think about it, you can probably anticipate some of what he might say based on your past conversations. Pause the recording for a minute and think about what you think he'll say. As you think about the things he'll probably say, it might make you feel tense or annoyed or anxious. Anytime you feel tense or upset during this recording, pause the recording. Take your mind completely off your partner for a moment. Relax your body as completely as possible. Take a big inhale followed by a long, slow release exhale. Do this a couple of times before continuing the recording, and do this every time you begin feeling stressed or upset. As your partner talks, you'll probably be thinking about the pros and cons to implementing his ideas. The skill you'll need early in the conversation is to focus on the pros. What good things could come from implementing his ideas? Your ability to identify and acknowledge good things about his ideas will be crucial to the success of your negotiation. There are many reasons for this, but one of them is that it'll have a big impact on the level of motivation that he'll have to acknowledge good things about your ideas. When all things are considered, you might end up liking your ideas more than his, but that wouldn't mean there are no good things about his. Take a minute. Pause the recording and think about this right now. What might be some good things that could come from implementing what you anticipate his ideas will be? The truth is that you'll need to do more than just to see good things about his ideas. You'll need to make explicit statements that let him know you see these good things. For example, you might say, "Well, it's true that doing things that way would accomplish," and then you summarize whatever it might accomplish. If you're wise, you'll acknowledge every good thing you can think of. Take a minute, pause the recording, and practice making a positive statement out loud about one of the things that he's wanted in the past that's related to the topic of your upcoming conversation. You'll also need to be good at making small, validating statements as he talks. Like you could say, well, that part makes sense. Or you might say, well, that's a good point. Small acknowledgments like this build goodwill, and they make it easier for him to have goodwill toward you, too. Now let's think about when it's your turn to talk about what you ideally would want if it was just up to you, and if you thought he was going to be okay with whatever you wanted. So there you are, explaining your ideas. You're being as specific as you can. You've anticipated in advance the reservations he might have about your ideas, and you're addressing them. You're explaining not only how you would like things to be, but also why you want these things. And if you feel strongly about what you're saying, you're explaining why you feel strongly about it. But at the same time, and this is the important part, you're taking care to assure him that you're not telling him that because you feel strongly that therefore he should do what you want. You realize that he may feel strongly too, and there's no reason why your feelings should prevail over his. Little statements like, I realize you might not agree with me, and I'm not going to try and bulldoze you into anything, can make a big difference in cultivating receptivity in him. I suggest that you pause this recording for a minute so you can think about and then practice saying out loud an actual statement that would assure him of your flexibility and openness, even as you're talking about what you would like. Go ahead and stop the recording now so you can do this. If you guys can talk and listen in a respectful way, you may find that you aren't as far apart as you thought you were, and it might be easy to get on the same page. But it doesn't always work this way. You may still have really different ideas about how you would like for things to be. If this happens, you'll need to be honest about the fact that you still prefer your ideas, while assuring him that you do think there are merits for his preferences too. You're just reading the pros and cons a little differently than he is, and prefer a direction that's at least somewhat different. You'll also need to say again that there's no reason why your opinion should count more than his. If you make this sort of respectful statement, even though he knows you still prefer your ideas, the odds are good that he'll be respectful of your ideas too. But this might not happen. When you explain your feelings, he might act like they're, like, unrealistic or unreasonable, excessive, or just stupid. If he does this, if you're like most people, your body will kick into alarm mode. The first thing you'll need to do is slow your physiology down. So picture your partner right now implying that what you want is stupid. What words can you actually imagine him saying that would be dismissive like this? Pause the recording. Take a minute and think about it. What dismissive thing can you actually imagine him saying? So there he is, making this dismissive comment, and you're feeling the urge to defend yourself. But you're not following this urge because you know you can be more powerful doing something else. So you're pausing, slowing your breathing, and loosening your body. Do these things right now as you're listening too. You're reminding yourself there's no need to panic. People are dismissive all the time, but they don't usually stay that way in the presence of someone who knows how to react effectively. When you open your mouth, you react effectively. You say two things. First, you take issue with his assumption that there's something wrong with what you want. But more important, you invite him instead to consider there probably isn't anything wrong with what either of you wants. For example, you could say something like, don't act like there's something wrong with the way I'd like things to be. I realize you don't want the same thing, so that doesn't mean there's something wrong with what I want. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people who wouldn't have any problem with it if they were in your shoes. There are probably also plenty of people who would feel the way you do. Different people want different things. Nobody's necessarily right or wrong. I'm trying to be respectful of what you want, and I'd appreciate it if you'd try and do the same. Pause the recording right now and practice making this crucial statement, or another one that conveys the same message. Say it out loud. If you're able to respond to his dismissiveness effectively, the odds are good he'll become more respectful. If you're concerned that he still won't, I suggest you listen to recording 6 in this series. But let's not get carried away. Your partner might not be dismissive at all. Or he might begin that way, but change his attitude when you talk to him in the way I just described. Now you might find yourself sort of respectfully agreeing to disagree. But don't stop there. You need to get on the same page with your expectations about the future. Here you need to suggest that you guys work together to find a way of doing things that takes both of your needs into account as much as possible. Suggest one possible solution and then be open to any others that he may come up with. As you progress through your conversation, there are several types of urges or inclinations that may come up inside of you that, if you follow them, can derail your conversation. Let's envision you experiencing each of them and mentally practice how to avoid getting derailed. One thing that may happen as you're talking about what you would like in the future is that an urge may come up inside of you to talk about what you didn't like in the past. Digressions into the past can quickly unravel progress toward agreements about the future. Not only is it unnecessary to change his perceptions about the past in order to get him to act differently in the future, your efforts to single out his shortcomings without talking about your own at the same time will actually backfire and trigger defensiveness in him if he's normal. You can head off the tendency to talk about the past by doing several things. First, think in advance about the things that you do wish that he could better understand or acknowledge about his past behavior. Let's identify these things. What are they? Pause the recording right now and come up with some answers. Now that you've identified these things, practice letting them go. Take a minute right now and relax your body as completely as you can. Take a big inhale, and then as you exhale, repeat after me. It's okay if he doesn't see the past the way that I do. It's also okay if I don't see the past the way that he does. There are a lot of things that went wrong in the past. It's normal for some things to seem more important to him and for other things to seem more important to me. We don't have to have the same understanding about the past in order to do a better job of handling our differences in the future. Here's challenging scenario number 2. Although you may be able to let go of the need to talk about the past, your partner might have more trouble. Picture him starting to criticize your past behavior. You feel the urge to debate the specific claims he's making, but you don't go with this urge. Instead, you relax, you slow your breathing, and you simply say something like, "I think you have legitimate complaints about the past. I think I have legitimate complaints too. You know, there were so many things that contributed to the way that things went. Some of them probably seem more important to you. Some of them seem more important to me. And we're probably both right. But I think we're changing some of these things. The main thing is to get on the same page about how to handle things in the future, right? So explain to me again, from here out, how would you like things to be?" Go ahead and pause the recording right now. You need to practice making this sort of statement out loud. Be prepared for the fact that he may digress into the past. What statement will you actually say? If in spite of you making this sort of statement, he keeps on making provocative comments about your past behavior, you can just say, "It seems like you really need to get some acknowledgement from me about the past, but I'm feeling defensive right now. It's partly because I just don't feel prepared. I feel like it would be good for me to review the guidelines from Chapter 7 again before we do another conversation about the past. In fact, it seems like it would be a good idea for both of us to review those guidelines. This week, I was preparing to talk about the future, but if you're feeling it's necessary to talk more about the past, let's do it. But I want some time to prepare, okay? Go ahead and pause the recording and practice making this statement out loud, or another statement that conveys the same message. The third thing that can trip you up is this. As your partner talks about how he ideally would like things to be, you really don't like the picture he's painting. You feel a strong urge to explain to him why it won't work, or why it isn't fair. You want to point out the things he isn't taking into consideration. Take a moment. Pause the recording and think about this for a minute. What do you anticipate that he might say that you'll have strong objections to? So there he is, saying these things, and you're having the urge to take issue with what he's saying. But you're not following this urge. No. You're pausing. Relaxing your body. Slowing your breathing. And you're saying to yourself, go ahead and repeat after me right now. Just because he wants things to be this way doesn't mean that we're going to do things exactly this way. I can afford to relax, hear him out, and recognize any good points that he's making. In the end, my opinion is going to count too. The fourth thing that can trip you up is the flip side of the third thing. As you're talking, he doesn't like what you're saying. He interrupts you and tries to debate or poke holes in what you're saying before you're able to fully explain. You're feeling a flash of irritation and wanting to refute what he's saying. But instead of taking the bait, you're pausing. You're loosening your body, slowing your breathing. And you're saying something like, just let me finish. I want to get my whole idea out first, okay? The main thing here is to relax and let go of the urge to defend yourself. Last of all, somewhere along the way, based on your past experience, you may begin feeling doubtful that your partner will follow through on any agreement that he makes. Picture yourself feeling the urge to communicate your skepticism. But you're not going with this urge. No, you're letting it go. You're remembering that the main reason why people fail to keep agreements is that they aren't fully committed to the agreements in the first place. Instead of predicting that your partner isn't going to follow through, you're turning to him, and you're saying something like, are you sure this feels fair to you? Because if we make an agreement, I need to feel confident that you're going to follow through with it, just like you need to feel confident that I'll follow through. So are you really committed to this? Can you think of any reason why it'll be difficult for you to follow through? Go ahead and pause the recording for a minute and practice making this statement, or another one that conveys the same message. All right, you should be feeling good about what you just did. If you mentally practice the skills we've discussed in this recording each day before you actually have the conversation, you'll significantly increase your odds of a successful outcome.